Welcome. We'll start with questions today. I received one question via email. trying to figure out awareness. What is it? Who is it? Where is it? How is it? Why is it? If it is, why don't I know it?
Candice, you said yesterday that this teaching belongs to the Tantra class.
Uh-huh.
So traditionally, in tantric teachings, one aspect is the employment of sexual energy in the process. Could you speak to that?
Yes.
Yeah, it's again about communication and relationship. And you also say it's good to know your points of views, because then you can realize that you're not your point of views.
Mm-hmm.
And my question is, because I see that you are not really invasive to people. You don't go there and say, yeah, but this is your point of view or something. How I know it from other people, or also from other teachers maybe.
Mm-hmm.
And my question is, when I am with someone and I get the feeling there is a point of view in the other one that is very subtle or something that he's not aware of, so what's my business then, and what is it my job to tell them, or is it not, or probably it's different, probably there's not a rule for it. And I, once again, I guess the answer is I will know in the moment. And but I have this experience, and very often it felt so right for me, and I said that, and then it was like, wow, you're trying to fix me up. And probably I did, in one way I did, but on the other hand, still it might be useful. This thing.
Mm-hmm. Very good.
Speak a little on the key points, differences between the wisdom awareness and nihilism.
Oh, sure.
The day before, you talked about your sister and how she died so beautifully, with this laughing on the face. Huh? And so she disappeared. Is there any chance, like, to come back from the Satchitananda state? Or it is just disappearing forever, and it was ever before the Satchitananda state, or Nirvana, or Samadhi?
So I didn't quite understand what you said after she disappeared, and...
You said she was, the face was so beautiful.
Uh-huh.
After all this suffering from cancer. So she went into this blessing.
Uh-huh.
Huh? Is this so, mean the meaning of going forever into this blessing and not coming back to some individuality as we are now, or seemingly? And this may be coming together with his question of nihilism and I forgot his expression. Wisdom and nihilism.
Just one more question.
It's about resting. The way I understand it, it's really simple. But when hard things are coming, it's not that simple at all. And when all kinds of points of view, like strong points of view, are coming, all the knowledge remains only intellectual. you know, just rest and everything will become. But you know, when someone is crashing his car against me, or my girlfriend is breaking up with me, or someone is
let's not use hypotheticals. Just what's going on today is plenty without the movie of what might be coming up. So, yeah, it's really important to stay with what's right here and learn from that. Yeah. Okay?
Mm-hmm.
Good. Well, you know, first of all, awareness is that by which we know everything, and awareness is totally relaxed. It's always totally relaxed, just like sky. If we look up in sky, there sky is. It's totally relaxed. And awareness is like that. It's sky-like. It doesn't need to be held or kept in place. It simply is. And whatever appears in awareness has no substance. It's just like sky. Sky-like awareness, whatever appears within it has no substance. So the color blue is inseparable from the sky, but that actually has no substance whatsoever. And whether it's dark blue or light blue, it's uninterrupted. It never undergoes any transition or change. It's a seamless expanse. So this is the case with our awareness as well. And this relaxed awareness has never been anything other than that. So it's never been conditioned into something other than that. That's never occurred. Awareness is always wide open and spacious, wide open and free. If we learn that it isn't, it just means that that's what we've learned. We've learned that what appears in our awareness, the thoughts, the emotions, the experiences, we've just learned something other than that, but it doesn't mean that that's the way it is. So when we hear something else about ourselves, that we have an awareness that is that by which we're looking at everything, that by which we're seeing, whether we're looking with our eyes or we're seeing in dreams or hearing with our ears or hearing in dreams, the looking and the hearing are awareness alone. That's all they are. They can't really be traced to any kind of a sense organ. So you see, it's the choice of a human being, and we don't know why this is. Let's just keep it simple. We really don't know why it is. There are a lot of things that are postulated about why it is, so many ideas about why it is, but what we can really say is we don't know why it is. We really don't know why it is, and we don't know how it is. We just know it is. And we know that by which we know everything is awareness. And so what it boils down to is that we have a choice of how we use this awareness. We can use the awareness to learn to take ourselves to be somebody. And we can learn that all of the appearances within awareness are oh so important, and they have a meaning and significance in their own right. And then we can create a whole life out of that, all via awareness. Whatever our experience of living is the experience we create via our awareness. So if we have a life where we're experiencing a lot of painful thoughts, painful emotions, and then blaming those painful thoughts and emotions on something, oh, I have this thought because of this thing that happened yesterday or a few minutes ago or when I was a child or whatever it is, or I have these emotions, the same thing, I have these emotions because of this or that, because something in the past, something happening now, or something I'm afraid might happen in the future. This is just the way we've chosen to use our awareness to describe the world in which we live and to describe our own being. But all I'm saying here is that that's only one way of using awareness. There's only one other way to use awareness, and that's to just let it relax in its natural state no matter what appears. No matter what appears in awareness, it's like the appearance of blue in the sky, the blue can't be turned on and off, and it's inseparable from the sky. It's a seamless, spacious expanse of non-difference. And no matter whether it's the night sky, the dark blue of a night sky, or the daytime sky of a totally bright sky, it's all wide open and free, completely relaxed, just like our awareness. And so when we describe our thoughts and emotions as being something in particular, then that's simply what we realize in our life. We realize a life of conflict and turmoil, and sometimes happiness, but always hope that there'll be more happiness and less suffering. And always when we get to a moment of happiness, then feeling, oh wow, I'm happy. This is it. I'm going to be this way forever. Finally, I found it. Hooray. But then, boom, you know, something happens. Something we describe as negative appears within the ground of awareness, within the field of awareness. We take it to be real. We take it to have an identity in its own right. And then we're off with the story about what's appearing, some kind of story to give this negative appearance some kind of substance or meaning. But no matter what appears, whether it's negative, positive, or neutral, it's all like a mirage or like a hologram. It's nothing but space, just like awareness is aware pure space. So anything that appears within awareness is aware pure space. And when we first begin to learn about this, the relaxed nature of our own awareness, then it's important to be introduced to that awareness somehow. Often that comes through being with a teacher, or sometimes it comes about in some other way. But when we're introduced to awareness, then it's important to know that that introduction alone really tells us what awareness is. Just that one moment of instantaneous awareness, and whatever is appearing is flawless and completely perceptually open. That's what relaxed awareness always is. It doesn't differentiate it. It doesn't differentiate due to appearances. Within awareness, there is no differentiation. There is no difference whatsoever. And we can't really understand that through thinking about it. We can only come to realize it through our own experience of awareness. And how is that? Well, when an appearance comes about, then we just relax. And as we relax, we notice that appearance comes from that relaxed awareness, and it also resolves in that relaxed awareness. And the coming and the resolution are both relaxed awareness too, so there's really nothing to be said about it. And usually in the beginning, when people begin to enjoy relaxed awareness, then it's easy to do that with positive things. Much easier to do it with positive things than with negative things. Now, for me, exactly the opposite was the case, and for others, this is true as well. For me, it was much easier to relax with the negative things because I was in a great deal of pain. I didn't want to be in pain anymore. I had realized that awareness was the underlying basis of all the pain, confusion, my intellectual and emotional trials and tribulations, no matter what they were, that awareness was the root of those. So I really wanted very much to get out of the desperate state I was in terms of my thoughts and emotions. So I didn't like that, and then I was willing to go to any lengths to relax this awareness. No matter what appeared, I just rested. And as I did so, you see, it was self-affirming. It was self-kept. It was beyond thinking about it. I saw very quickly that thinking about it got absolutely nowhere. Absolutely nowhere. It just got into more thinking about it, more perpetuating of a story that had never existed. So, you know, and believe me, I had plenty of stories. Any stories you might have, we can have a contest someday. We'll see whose stories are the worst stories. Whose stories are the more painful stories. You know, whatever these stories are, they do not have an independent nature. They're uncreated and unborn. Just like sky is uncreated and unborn, so too awareness is uncreated and unborn. Then anything that appears within awareness is uncreated and unborn. And how do we know that? Well, we either know it very suddenly all at once, or we make progress gradually, so to speak. For most, progress is made gradually. And that is such a simple matter. It all occurs within the naturalness of our own being. As something appears, we rest as awareness for short moments, repeated many times, until it becomes automatic. Freedom in immediate perception, in the direct encounter with the perception when it appears in awareness, to just not go into the story, not drift into the story about how it came about, why it came about, when it came about, where it came about. Oh. Just to rest, to totally rest, and allow everything to be as it is, no matter what it is. And when we become familiar with that, then we open ourselves up to wisdom. Instead of thinking about everything, there's just the wide open spaciousness of wisdom in which no matter what appears, there's nothing to be said about it. That's not information that we rely on anymore. When we're relying on whatever appears within awareness, we see it as information that we can depend upon. Oh, I have this thought, it's an important thought. I have this emotion, it's an important emotion. And so I'm going to take these thoughts and emotions and I'm going to prove that they exist as something by bringing in some other thoughts and emotions to prove that the first two existed in their own right. So you see, it's just really simply a choice. And very often I find people, just through hearing about the nature of their mind, either the first time or repeatedly, the conviction dawns without even resting as awareness. Our awareness already is relaxed, so it doesn't need any nudging. It doesn't need any tickling to make it come about. It doesn't need any hammering over the head either. It doesn't need any approach whatsoever. It already is, so it doesn't need any tricks or gimmicks. And there's never been anything in the way of it. There's never been someone who has made awareness not happen. Awareness just simply is, and there's no need to know anything about it. There's no need to make up any stories about awareness either, like whether it continues down through lifetimes or not. There's no need to make up stories like that. Any story is just a story, and all stories are equal in that they lack an independent nature. They're like a mirage or hologram. So if we believe that there's some kind of law within awareness that can somehow alter awareness or make us unfit to be aware, if we just rest as awareness, then we can examine those laws and see what's really so about them. Everyone's already aware, and all awareness is stainless. It's absolutely stainless. It's always been that way. It's never had a mark of any kind, so stories about the continuum of the mind from one lifetime to another, well, there's nothing to say about that, and, you know, really. just rest as awareness and then examine everything that appears as awareness. There's never been anyone predestined, undestined, or redestined by any thought or any appearance. So, you know, this is really just an idea, that's all it is. It's a concept. But it's like any other concept, point of view, or thought, it has no independent nature. It has no independent nature whatsoever. If we want to know about ourselves as human beings, then we have to know ourselves as the flawless knower. And the flawless knower is awareness. Flawless awareness is knowing everything. And that is the only law. Flawless knowing is the sole cause and the sole effect. So why make up anything else? That's enough. Why make up anything else? And in that flawless knowing, there's absolute wisdom, wisdom that is beyond the need to think about everything in diametric opposites, like good and bad, moral and immoral, ethical and unethical. In wisdom, there's natural ethics, natural morals, natural way of being that is wholly positive and that is able to solve problems in a really powerful way. Now, this is very obvious already in everyone here, because everyone here already is resting as awareness. It isn't new to anyone here. And so in resting as awareness, you already know that these thoughts and emotions, you know this at least to some degree, that these thoughts and emotions that you took to be good and bad thoughts and emotions, you're finding out they're really not that way. That this whole good and bad thing, even though it's what many people believe, and maybe we've believed it too, but this whole good and bad thing about thoughts and emotions, that it really doesn't have any substance when we start to rest as awareness. So then we get in touch with something about ourselves. This is what is called wisdom, the clear light of wisdom. And from the clear light of wisdom, we see that there's a vantage that can see everything there is to see about cause and effect and good and bad and all time and location, all these other laws we've taken to be true. We see in the naturalness of our own being that it's not the only way to look at things, that truly there is something about us that is beyond the cause and effect relationship of taking good thoughts to create well-being and bad thoughts to create lack of well-being. This is what many of us have believed. Good emotions create well-being, and bad emotions or negative emotions create lack of well-being. This is a natural relationship that we've learned. We've learned that this cause and effect relationship is true, many of us. So when we start to see that it isn't true within ourselves, then we start to look at everything in the same way. Well, you know, we see within the naturalness of our own being that thoughts and emotions don't have an independent nature. That just because they're described as something doesn't mean that they are something that can alter our course of well-being. And then, you know, we open up from that. We start to see that other things too cannot alter our well-being. That awareness is, nothing can alter or affect awareness in any way. So first within our own thoughts and emotions we see this, and then pretty soon we notice that what other people say to us, that it also has no independent nature. It can't affect us in any way. It can't alter our well-being in any way. And this is very, very powerful, because many of us have lived our life thinking that our own thoughts and emotions and what other people say and think about us, that these things can alter our well-being. Well, when we rest in awareness, then we see that isn't the case. And so, you know, more and more a very expansive openness is the case with everything that appears. This is very powerful. This is very profound in the whole cause and effect relationship of everything that we took to be the case. Well, it falls apart. It falls apart because we can see that we used to be worried about what other people think about us, and some things people would say to us we liked, and then we wanted those people around us. Other people would say things we didn't like, and we didn't want them around us. Well, when nothing can affect our well-being, then we truly have a choice. You see, then we truly have a choice in life. We can be with in any situation without impediment, but that doesn't mean we do that all the time. We may, but it isn't necessary. We're not trying to go through some grueling test of our powers of awareness. We're just relaxing and enjoying life like, oh, I'm sick, but I don't think I'll take any medicine because I'm going to out-awareness my sickness or whatever it is. You know, we might do that, but why do that? You know, why bother with that? It really doesn't matter. In the beginning, it's just most important to get acquainted with awareness in a very natural way, a very organic way. As we already are awareness, it's not a big deal. And if we rely on other people who are enjoying awareness, resting as awareness for support, then it is very easy and awareness becomes continuous very quickly. So, you know, it's easy when just freedom and immediate perception, complete perceptual openness in the direct encounter with any appearance, whatever it is, and we see that it doesn't have a hold, it never has had a hold. That's very reassuring and self-affirming, and we just go on. There's no way to turn back then, you see. Where would we go from there? From there we can't say, oh yeah, I really want to go on proving that everything has an independent nature. It becomes impossible, you know. It's and when we look at the way we've lived, we just laugh, you know, because there's really no way to go back. There's only the ease of awareness that is naturally present right now. And that's really all there is to say about it. With resting as awareness, awareness becomes continuous, and in continuous awareness there's total wisdom, fundamental wisdom, primordial wisdom that has no need to rely on conventional outlooks about anything, even our own conventional outlooks. So, yeah. Here's another way of saying this: no drama. Now, you know, when we believe our thoughts and emotions are real, then we have thoughts and emotions appear, and we're constantly going, eek, eek, you know, oh no, there it is again. I don't like this one, or I do like that one, and so it's just a constant roller coaster. When we just allow the ease of everything to be as it is, then it becomes much, much easier. Now, someone asked a question about nihilism, and nihilism says that nothing exists. And it says that everything comes from nothing and it leads to nothing, so that there's nothing that's redeeming at all in this philosophy of nihilism. It says everything is nil. Now, materialism, on the other hand, it says that everything exists. So there are these two: materialism that says that things exist, and nihilism that says that things don't exist. Now, in awareness, there are no extremes, so there isn't taking any position, not that things exist or that they don't exist. Because in everything that appears, it's a vivid appearance that's distinct and clear. We see that, so we can't really say that it doesn't exist. No need to hold on to that extreme. And we can't say that it does exist either, because it doesn't have an independent nature. If we look into it, if we examine it, just even with very simple logic, we can see that it doesn't exist in its own right. It lacks an independent nature. So there's nothing more to be said about it. There's no need to take up an extreme anywhere, not about philosophies or our thoughts and emotions being good or bad, or our experiences being good or bad. And this is the approach of great freedom, in which there are no extremes. Awareness has never had an extreme anywhere, just like the sky, the flawless sky, has no extremes. Awareness has never had an extreme anywhere. It doesn't need anything to try to prove anything, you see. Either that things exist or that they don't exist. And, well, you know, in the flawlessness of our own being, everything is equal. And the more that we enjoy awareness, the more we see that this is true, that that whatever appears, first we notice it just in a very simple way with everyday ordinary appearances, and then from that vantage we can't help but examine other things that we've learned, like about ourselves, like that we have a personal identity that's fixed, stable, solid, and concrete, that we have a things happen to awareness, like birth and death, and that these somehow can affect awareness. We naturally come to see that awareness is awareness, and no matter how important or potent the point of view may seem to be, it in no way affects awareness, whether it's something of enormous import like birth or enormous import like death. We come to see that awareness is unaffected by any concept. It doesn't matter what it is. Whatever the concept might be, it hasn't an independent nature. It doesn't exist in its own right. So it can be birth, life, death, illness, aging, suffering of any kind. It can be the planet Earth that we live on. And none of these things have an independent nature. They're all subject to the law of impermanence. They won't go on forever. The universe, too, subject to the law of impermanence. Everything the universe or parallel universes contain, all subject to the law of impermanence. Even the mighty sun itself, subject to the law of impermanence. You know, just in the natural expression of everything, we look at sky, flawless, cloudless sky, and there's a perfect illustration of our own mind, of our own awareness, flawless. Or we look at the sun, another perfect illustration of our awareness, blazing awareness, awareness blazing. Through all points of view, as all points of view. We look at the moon, it's glowing, it's filled with light. That's exactly the nature of every single appearance, just like the moon filled with light. So you see, everything about who we are is very simple, total simplicity. It doesn't need to be complicated with all these bells and whistles and words and approaches and all of these things. Just enjoy life. Enjoy life as it is. And the more that familiar that you become with awareness, the more you'll notice that there's a potent force of wisdom within you that's always been there. It's always been the case, and this wisdom isn't limited or restricted in any way. Just like awareness could be likened to the vast expanse of infinite space, that wisdom is inseparable from that awareness, and it's potently beneficial. All the great powers lie therein. All the great powers that are beyond all the notions about everything. So all the concepts we come up with, all the great powers that are beyond everything that could possibly be described. And you know, everything's included, even sex and defecating, urinating, all these things are included too. So whatever appears is awareness, and sometimes, you know, we have subtle ideas about our bodies and the things they enjoy or the things that they naturally go through, and we think, oh, you know, what's below the waist, that's maybe that isn't awareness, you know. Or what comes out below the waist, or vomiting, or whatever it might be, blood, that is an awareness. But, you know, no matter what we come up with, awareness doesn't depend on any of these things. And so wherever we are, we just enjoy the rest of awareness, whether we're bleeding or making love or whatever it is. Now, you know, it's important not to contrive appearances in any way, not to try to make them into anything in order to be awareness. Do you see what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. They don't need to be changed in any way. That's a simple way of saying it. Contrive means to change appearances, to make them better appearances. So, you know, when we're walking around, usually we have a sense that we have some kind of control over our thinking and our emotions. But when we're making love, we usually don't have a lot of control over what our thoughts and emotions are. They're just, you know, wild and woolly. Anything can and does appear. So this is a perfect time to rest. There are no right thoughts to have or emotions either. There are no right sensations to have, and so this is a perfect time to rest, and it's extremely powerful because we, in gaining familiarity with awareness, we see that everything really is awareness. And how do we see that? It isn't about reading about it in books. It's in our own experience with our own appearances. We come to see very clearly that everything, no matter what it is awareness. And this is very beautiful. You know, this is gorgeous. This is what life is supposed to be about. So everything, no matter what it is, we come to see as awareness. From stainless awareness, we see through all as flawless stainless awareness until all is stainless awareness. It's as simple as that, no matter what it is. And that's just the way it is. Now, someone used the word the Tantra class, and that's something I'd mentioned the other day. Well, the Tantra class of literature, it's to put it in a very simple way, it's writing that doesn't have an author. That's what it is. So writing without an author. There's writing without an author, and then there's writing with an author. And it's very clear which is which. So whether we call it sutra, writing with an author, or tantra, writing without an author, if we say with an author and without an author, then those are things everyone can understand. If we say tantra and sutra, there are a lot of people who don't care about that. And they can't understand it, and they don't want to understand it. So if we use words everybody can understand, then it's much easier. Now, I don't always do this myself, but, you know, this is just the way it is. And it's important to be gentle with ourselves. We're not in an Iron Man contest or an Iron Woman contest with awareness, trying to you know, acting like all of our appearances are like lifting, bench pressing 300 pounds or whatever it might be. This isn't what we're up to. We're just relaxed and enjoying life and wondrous at this reality that we're learning about and gaining familiarity with awareness. We're just wondrous at that. So this is a very important, this is a good attitude. You know, there's no need to make an ordeal out of what has never been an ordeal. So, Stefan, you asked about people and being able to see their points of view and then pointing it out to them. Well, I can see what your points of view are. And well, now this just naturally comes about. So when we come to see that all of our own appearances are awareness, then we naturally find compassion within ourselves. So compassion, it never needs to be cultivated or developed. It's equal to awareness and can only be found in awareness. It cannot be affected. If it's affected, it's just an appearance. So when we develop this compassion in ourselves just through resting as awareness, we find that this compassion is naturally occurring. We don't have to get it from anywhere. And with that, we're able to sometimes see what other people are thinking and feeling. And we can see maybe where they're holding to their points of view and that kind of thing. And so one approach to that is to point it out to them, to say, hey, I see what's going on with you, and this is what it is, and I'm going to tell you about it. Well, that's one way of doing it. Now, then there's my way of doing it. And that is, I just, if people invite me to look into their points of view with them, then I'll do that. But otherwise, I don't. So, you know, this is very simple. It's very simple. And there are many, many skillful means other than pointing things out to somebody. So there are much easier and much more effective ways very often than pointing something out to someone to just have things loosen up and have a place of rest appear where there was a place of holding before. So you see, skillful means can come about in many ways. It can come about just through thinking about another person. When you get really familiar with the wisdom awareness that is the basis of everything about you, then there are many ways of opening up a lot of space. Now, this also makes your life a lot easier because, you know, if you're going around pointing out everybody's flaws, well, not only that, you end up with a lot of people who really want to know about it, so they're ready, you know, they're ready, instead of a lot of people who are ambivalent or not ready at all. So this also makes your life a lot easier. There are plenty of people who are ready, you know, who really want some support. So it just makes it easier, much easier. Rest is best. Just relax. I have nothing more to say today.